Today, as we come to the table,
it's the Lord's name between the frontlets of your eyes, the Lord's name on your hand. God is writing His name on those that love Him. And that was the point that God wanted to make, the name Yahweh written on you. Well, it's interesting to me and exciting to know in Revelation 22:4, when we get there, and you can look it up later or you can cheat while I'm talking, but Revelation 22:4, it says that God has written His name, Yahweh, on our foreheads. You right now, if you know Jesus Christ, you have Yahweh written on your forehead. And what it says to the world, the demonic realm can see it. The world can't. What it says to the demonic realm and all the angels, that one's mine. That one belongs to me.
God has written His name on your forehead because you belong to Him. That means that whatever comes your way, you are secure in the power of the Father's love. There is nothing that can take you away from Him because there is no power greater than Him. Nothing the world throws at you has the power to overcome you. And even when it comes to the end of the world, you are secure. You are kept safe within the hand of God. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So we get to dive in today to the enemy's plans for the end of this world. But remember, as we do that, God has plans of His own that are greater, stronger, and higher. The enemy can't touch you. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Revelation chapter 13 as he continues his message, The Antichrist and the False Prophet.
And so notice it says, the mortal wound, as if it was deadly, has been healed, and the world marveled and followed Him. And look at the result of this. You would expect this to be the result. Again, they see Him die, apparently. They see Him resurrect, apparently, like Jesus did. He declares that He's God, I believe, at this point, in the midway of the Great Tribulation. So they worshiped the dragon. Notice the worship goes straight to the dragon. That's why I believe Satan inhabits the Antichrist. Because the world will be bowing to the Antichrist, but notice the prophet here says it's the dragon they're really worshiping. It is Satan himself finally getting the worship he so longed for. They worship the dragon who gave the authority to the beast, and they worship the beast. So they're worshiping this man as well, with Satan in him, saying, who is like the beast? Who is able to make war with him? Look, this guy died and resurrected. What kind of power does he have? And he has these 10 nations together with all their armies and all their conglomerates. There's no way anybody could go against the beast and defeat the beast. We must and will worship and follow him. And notice, he was given a mouth, and he's spoken of a lot as having a big mouth in the scripture. He was given a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. And he was given authority to continue for 42 months. Again, remember, 42 months is 3.5 years. Now that he's declaring that he's God in the mid-tribulation, he has 3.5 more years to present himself as though he is God until the second coming. And notice he's speaking blasphemies against God. And here, what blasphemies is he speaking here? Look at verse 6. Then he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God. So he's denouncing God, no doubt from the Temple Mount, the greatest insult he could give to God, and him trying to take the place of God. Also, he's blaspheming the Lord's name, no doubt blaspheming the name of Jesus as well. He's blaspheming God's tabernacle. All of this could refer to the tabernacle in heaven. This could refer to the third temple. So he may be talking about the blasphemies of the tabernacle in heaven. He may be talking about the third temple and blaspheming that on earth as he stands there saying, don't believe in this God of the Jews and this God of the Christians. I died, I resurrected, I am your God. Follow me. And also notice who else he blasphemes. Those who dwell in heaven. That's you. Don't feel bad about it. He's already calling you names all the time. He's the accuser of the brethren. But what it means is this is after the rapture. You're going to be in heaven. He's going to be shaking his fist in heaven and saying, we hate those Christians too. Aren't you glad they're gone? And we're going to be up there going, yeah, we're glad we're gone. You know, we're glad we're up here and sorry you're down there. But again, he's going to be blaspheming us as well. And notice it was granted to him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. Wait a minute. Didn't the Lord say the gates of hell will not prevail against his church? How can the Antichrist overcome them? Because the church is gone, family. The church is gone in the rapture by now. These are those that are saved after the rapture. They are still saints. They are still saved. They are still going to heaven, but they're not the church, which means they don't have the promise we have, and Satan will be able to overcome them. And sadly, there will be millions put to death that have given their life to God, Jew and Gentile, after the rapture of the church, and that's what he's referring to. He will overcome them. And authority was given him over every tribe, every tongue, and nation. And all who dwell on the earth will worship him, whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Unless your name is written in the book of life, you're not getting into heaven. Now, this is interesting insight here because it speaks here in the past tense, and it's in the perfect, which means it is past tense, whose names have not been written. Literally, their names were never written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, there's different teachings on this, different theories that some believe that everybody starts out with their name in the book of life, and if you don't give your life to Christ, you're removed. That's not what it says. This is in the past tense, and it's in the perfect tense in the Greek. What it's saying is their names were never written in the book of life. And so here we're going to see if your name has never been written in, you're not getting in. And today, before we're done, I'll give you a chance to make sure that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life so that you can enter into the kingdom of God. But only those written will get in. If anyone has an ear, let him hear. So if you've got ears today and you're listening spiritually, respond. Receive the Lord would be the message. He who leads in the... Now he gives an encouragement here to the believers that are behind. What about those that are here having to go through this? Look at this encouragement he gives. He who leads in the captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, those of you that are here after the rapture and you've given your life to the Lord and you're reading this, and many will be, don't worry. Those that are taking you captive and throwing you in jail and abusing you, they're going to be taken captive as well. And those that are taking the sword and putting you to death, they're going to face the sword in God's judgment one day. So here's your patience. Hang in there. Hang in there. You came late to the party, but you're still getting in. You will be invited to the wedding. You're just going to be afterwards when it's all done. Not the wedding feast, but to the kingdom, I should say. And this is patience to wait on God. So there we have the Antichrist. There's a lot more we could say, but that's not the point to get deeply into that. Now we go to the false prophet. Now it's interesting. Remember this whole point? The false prophet, it takes the place of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit points the eyes to Jesus. The false prophet, a world religious leader, will be pointing the eyes to the Antichrist. So there's going to be an Antichrist and a world religious leader that's going to be pointing the eyes of the world to him. That's where we come to. Then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. Remember, out of the sea came the Antichrist. Now out of the earth comes the beast. Again, coming from the peoples as well, but there may be some symbolism here as one of these resurrected, if you will, demons. We talked about Tartarus and 2 Peter earlier in the book of Revelation and the release of some of these demons that are being temporarily held in the heart of the earth in that place called Tartarus that it talks about in 2 Peter. It might be a demon that's being released and probably is from this center of the earth place coming up out of the earth. John sees him. He had two horns like a lamb and he spoke like a dragon. You talk about a wolf in sheep's clothing. Here's the definition. Here it is. He looks like a spiritual leader, a godly man, a man that can lead them spiritually, but in heart, he's speaking the mouth and the voice of Satan. Again, a world religious leader, a lamb on the outside, a dragon on the inside, now teaming up with the Antichrist to deceive the world as one. And notice verse 12, he exercises all the authority of the first beast in his presence and causes the earth and all those who dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So again, when they're there together, they exercise this authority together. They exercise this power together. And notice they're going to have the ability to do great signs and wonders. Notice he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven. Fire is the Bible's way of saying lightning. We see that all through Scripture. So he makes lightning come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Now, how could Satan have the power to give to the Antichrist and the false prophet the ability to call down lightning from heaven? Again, Satan has limited power, but he does have power in certain areas. And one of the areas that we see that Satan has power is in nature. In the environment. Where do we see that? The book of Job. Remember in Job, Satan asked permission. God gave him permission. He called down fire or lightning on the flocks of Job and burned up his flocks. Then we saw that he was able to send what would appear to be a tornado and destroy Job's family in the home. Certainly a strong wind couldn't have been strong enough to knock the home and kill them all. So it probably was something even greater than just a normal wind, probably a tornado, something like that. So Satan has limited power, but ability to even affect storms and weather and nature. And notice he does this, these great signs, and the world not knowing that the Bible said about this, the believers will, but the world won't. They're going to believe this man. Look, he died and resurrected from the dead. He and his sidekick can call down lightning from heaven. We've got to worship this guy. Who has this kind of power? Who has this kind of authority? And notice he does it in the sight of men. Now, I find this interesting. The timing of this, I think, is interesting right here because it just talked about Satan, rather the Antichrist, dying and resurrecting, and now this sidekick coming along and being with him. I think this is all going to happen at the midway point. And why do I believe that? Because remember, the first 3.5 years, guess who's been in Jerusalem prophesying? The two witnesses. Guess what the ability of the two witnesses has been to do, among other things. One of the things it says they'll be doing is calling down fire from heaven, lightning from heaven. So as the world is watching the two witnesses do these miracles and fire come down from heaven and judgments of God, now God says, all right, witnesses, your time is up. I'm going to allow the Antichrist to kill you and to overtake you. And what happens? Now the Antichrist, the false prophet, come on the scene, and it says they are given authority to kill. The Antichrist is given authority to kill the two witnesses for the first time. I wonder if it's not going to be the Antichrist and the false prophet calling down lightning to kill the two witnesses. Say, look, you think that was God's power? We have that too. And now we're going to kill the ones that you think were God's witnesses by the power that we have. The Bible didn't say how he'll kill them. Okay, I'm not saying it's going to be by lightning. But it wouldn't surprise me to find out later on that they're going to call down lightning and strike the two witnesses to again show that they have this power just like God has, trying to replace God and be like God. The world again being enamored by them, being deceived by them. And look at verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by those signs which he was granted to do in the sight of the beast. By the way, do miracles and wonders mean that somebody's of God? How many people are deceived by false prophets because they see signs and wonders? Satan has power, guys. He can even make people stand behind a pulpit and do limited miracles and deceive you into thinking they're godly. Well, Mark, how do we know? How do we know if they're godly? How do we know if you're godly? You know? If there's a miracle or a wonder that's done, it'll always be in line with the Word of God. If what the pastor is saying, if I did a miracle this morning, somebody's here and I say, that person needs to be healed, stand up, and they stand up. And everybody, that was a real miracle. I'll say, and by the way, Jesus wasn't really God. I'm a false prophet. I'm a false prophet. By the way, there's a lot of false prophets out there online. There's a lot of false prophets everywhere. Many of you, I got a lot of these, hey, so-and-so saying all these prophetic things, and these things are prophecy, and I appreciate that. I get that. But here's what the Bible says. You'll know a true prophet and a false prophet by if what they say comes to pass. If what they say doesn't come to pass, they're a false prophet. There were several of you that sent me videos saying, hey, this guy's saying that President Trump will be our president. He will win. And he's prophesying all these other things at the same time. Is he a real prophet, Pastor Mark? And the answer I gave him was this. If President Trump wins and you see those other things, he's a real prophet. If President Trump loses, check them off. Never listen to them again because they've shown themselves to be a false prophet. So if you've been following any of these sites where they said President Trump, listen, I'm not saying somebody predicted President Trump's going to win. I'm not saying that. I'm saying somebody said, thus saith the Lord. President Trump will be our next president. God has said so. There were guys out there saying that. They've now been exposed to be false prophets. Don't be deceived, saints. Know the Bible. Deuteronomy 18 says that a prophet, if somebody gives a prophecy and they're truly speaking for God, it will be detailed and it will be 100% accurate. Not 98% accurate, not 99% accurate, not 99.9. 100%. So, be careful who you listen to, be careful what you listen to, and guard yourself because the Antichrist is going to be deceiving multitudes by signs and wonders while lying to them the whole time. Don't link the two together. It's the power of Satan. He deceives those who dwell on the earth by these signs, which he granted to do in the sight of the beast, telling them to dwell on the earth and make an image of the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. So worship this one that died and resurrected. He'd be pointing to him. He's the real Messiah. He's the real Savior of the world. He was granted power to give breath to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the image of the beast to be killed. Now, he's going to put this image on the Temple Mount, and this image is actually going to communicate with the world. Now, think about this. How in the world could that happen? We didn't know how that kind of stuff could happen until recently. I mean, years ago, we may have thought maybe it's going to be one of these kind of Disney World things where they kind of make it look like him and he goes, you know, hello and whatever. But those things, you can tell they're fake. Come on. It's kind of cute or whatever, and it's great to get the history. I get all that. But now we have holograms. We have holograms. And you can literally be anywhere in the world and present your image wherever you want and give a message to the world if you want to. And I believe the Antichrist will be traveling around the world, but giving his world dictates from the Temple Mount. Why the Temple Mount? Why this blasphemy of God? Because that's where Jesus' throne is going to be, and he wants to be like God. So he'll have his image there, like Jesus' is going to be. He'll be giving, I believe, world dictates from there, maybe using holograms, maybe using something else. We don't know yet, but we now have the technology, and he can make these worldwide announcements from the place of the Lord's throne. So something in this line is going to be happening. We don't know exactly how it's going to fall into place. And notice it says here, he causes, let me not pass this up. All those who won't worship the image of the beast will be killed. This is where, again, if you will not bow down, you will be killed. It's interesting. This is the revived Roman Empire. Back in the Roman days, they would make them pinch incense to Caesar on an altar and say, Caesar is Lord. When it first started, it was simply an allegiance to the government. They didn't see it as a spiritual thing at all. It's saying, look, we're in control, and we're asking you to be completely obedient and have complete allegiance to the government. And to prove it, you've got to pinch incense to the government, and then we'll give you a piece of paper that says, I'm in agreement with the government. But then when Nero came in, he said, no, that's not enough. I'm God. And Nero actually said, you need to worship me. And I think that Nero may very well have been possessed, not necessarily by Satan. But again, because of the things he did, when you look at the history of Nero, he may have very well been possessed. But either way, it's the same thing here. If you don't worship the beast, if you don't declare that he's God, you will be killed. And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to receive a mark on their right hand or on their foreheads. Now, this is interesting here. Again, the mark of the beast. A lot of people have been getting things, hey, is the shot, is this shot the mark of the beast? I know for a fact this shot is not the mark of the beast. Here's why. The Bible is very specific about what the mark will be and who will give it. It will be a one world leader out of Europe. It'll be on your hand or on your forehead. That's how you'll know this is the mark of the beast. It will not be an injection or a shot. Now, maybe some chip can be injected there. Some chip can be injected here. If that starts happening, we're going to talk. All right? But it's not the mark of the beast. Now, however, is it a prep? Absolutely. I believe that. Satan is getting the whole world prepped to say, you know what? We all need to work together here to solve a worldwide problem. And again, we read you what Israel said. We can't make you take the vaccination, but you can't buy, sell, or trade unless you do. It's exactly what it says in the Bible, we're going to see in just a moment. Already now, there are all these companies and all these places. You've got to have the shot to do this. You've got to have the shot to do that. Listen, I'm not speaking against the shot. Okay, I'm staying neutral. I'm not telling you what to do or not to do on that. I'm simply telling you it's not the mark of the beast. Don't freak out. You decide between you and God what you're going to do about it. But it's not the mark. He tells us very specifically what the mark is, but I do believe it is the prep work for the mark so that when the mark comes along, it's going to be, yeah, we all needed to do this with the shot. Now we all need to do this with the mark. It's going to be solving a lot of problems and a lot of issues worldwide. But now why also is it on the hand, right hand or the forehead? Again, remember, Satan wants to be like God. Back in Deuteronomy, God said this, write my name on your hand and your forehead. Today they still do it, the Jews. They wear what they call the phylacteries, and they put the phylactery on their arm, this leather thing they wrap. Maybe you've seen them at the Western Wall in the pictures. You wonder what that is. And they have a little box on their head that they strap and put this box. Inside that is the Shema, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, okay? And the emphasis, yes, he's one, but the emphasis is it's the Lord's name on your forehead. It's the Lord's name between the frontlets of your eyes, the Lord's name on your hand. God is writing his name on those that love him. And that was the point that God wanted to make, the name Yahweh written on you. Well, it's interesting to me and exciting to know in Revelation 22:4, when we get there, and you can look it up later or you can cheat while I'm talking, but Revelation 22:4, it says that God has written his name, Yahweh, on our foreheads. You right now, if you know Jesus Christ, you have Yahweh written on your forehead. And what it says to the world, the demonic realm can see it. The world can't. What it says to the demonic realm and all the angels, that one's mine. That one belongs to me. Now, Satan wants to be like God. He wants to be able to say, well, that one's mine. And I'm not pointing at anybody. I'm saying, that one's mine. That one. You pointed right at me, Pastor Mark. You did that. No. He wants to be able to point to the people in the world and say, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, you're mine, and you'll wear my name. And that's what we're going to see in a moment. Notice what he does here. On the right hand or the forehead. Why did he choose the right hand or the forehead? Because that's what God chose. And he wants to be like God. And he said, and no one may buy or sell except they have the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. So Satan wants to write his name on people. He wants to put his number on people. And what is that going to be? Here's wisdom. Let him who has understanding calculate the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man. His number is 666. So somehow that number 666 is going to be tied in to the name of the Antichrist. Will it be a numeric value of the Antichrist name? Maybe. Will it be his name plus a number? Look, if his name is on everybody that takes it, there's still going to have to be numbers that identify everyone. So how this is all going to work, I don't know. It's all going to be electronic, but it's going to be the name of the enemy written on us, because that's what he wants to do. And he knows that God's name is written on you. He says, I will have my name written on those who follow me. Now, this is so cool, and I want to encourage you with this as we finish today. Okay, his name, Yahweh, is written on your forehead. Now, in the ancient Hebrew, the oldest, not modern Hebrew, the ancient Hebrew, which again, the Old Testament was, when God gave it to them, that's what it was in. It used all symbols. It was more of a hieroglyphic type. Every letter in the Hebrew language had a symbol that represented something. All right? And then it had a meaning that went with that. It's Yod, He, Vav, He. Now, the first there, Yod, it means arm and hand. And you see a picture of an arm and a hand, or a hieroglyphic type picture to show arm and a hand. Then you have He, which is behold or look, a symbol of a man with his arms raised, or a person with their arms raised, giving praise to God and beholding God's glory. Then you have Vav, which is a tent peg or nail. The iron nail they used to use for tent pegs, that's the symbol. And the last one, hey, behold, again, the person worshiping. Look at what God has written on your name. It says this quite literally, my arm and my hand, look, behold. A nail, look, behold. Jesus Christ is in the name of Yahweh because he is God and is the name of God. And God has written his name on your forehead. He has the cross and the crucifixion written on your forehead. And he's saying, look and behold, my hands, the nails, you belong to me. Is God good or what? Now, if you don't know the Lord, you don't belong to him. I want to give you an invitation right now. I don't know why you wouldn't want to give your life to the Lord. I've done everything I can to scare you to death. I'm joking. Nobody talked to me after first service. Everybody left. I said, I've killed them all. I always say that after every service, like, I've killed you. They're all dead. They won't come back. I want you to know this. God loves you. If you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, he loves you. And right now, he's a ready writer with the pen of heaven, and he's waiting by the Spirit just to write his name on your forehead. You are mine. Look at the hands. Look at the nail. Behold, I died for you. But you've got to take action. You can't just even pray a prayer. You've got to say, God, forgive me. I'm guilty. This takes humility. You've got to admit you're a sinner. Ask God to forgive you. And you've got to say, I believe you died for me on the cross. I now give my life to you, and I receive you as Lord and Savior. And if you do that, you will be born again. You will be saved, and you will bear the name as a crown on your head, the name of Jesus Christ and God the Father, Yahweh. How beautiful.
Thanks for coming to the table for God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Revelation. This final book of the Bible is not a book you want to jump into without having context from the rest of the Bible. If you did, you might think you were transplanted into some sci-fi apocalyptic nightmare of a story. But Revelation is so much more than the strange imagery and prophecies. Revelation points you to the fact that Jesus is supreme ruler over all and that he truly will bring peace to the world. Now that's something to look forward to. We hope, as you've listened today, that you've been encouraged to know what's to come if you're a follower of Christ. If having a relationship with Jesus is a new thing for you, we'd like to help you with that. We'd be so happy to meet you and talk to you about this in person. If you're in the Knoxville area, we invite you to come visit us at Calvary Knoxville this Sunday. Our morning services are at 8, 9:30, and 11:15. We also have a Sunday night Bible study at 6 and a midweek service every Wednesday night at 7. If you're not in the area, go ahead and check out thewaymedia.net and scroll down to the Calvary Knoxville link. Then scroll down to the Knowing Jesus link. If you're needing to hear this message again to grasp what was said, click on the Come to the Table link at thewaymedia.net or connect with the Way Media app. That's all the time we have for right now, but Pastor Mark has more to share as we look to the big picture of Revelation the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.